Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today, as usual, and we're focused on United States senators. And none of them is actually the one who's going to get all the headlines today, and that's Rand Paul, who's about to announce his bid for president shortly after we tape here. But we're looking at some very important developments in key Senate races. Remember, the Republicans did very well in 2010, which means they're playing a lot of defense here coming up in 2016. They've got a couple opportunities for pickups, but not many. For the most part, they've got to do really well holding on to seats currently held by the GOP. For those of our longest listeners, you know that in 2010, there was no one that Jim wanted to see win more than anyone than Pat Toomey in Pennsylvania. And Pat Toomey did nearly defeat Joe Sestak this year. Joe Sestak believes that this is the year for the rematch, and the people of Pennsylvania could disagree more. They have, at least in the early goings here in a Quinnipiac poll, show Toomey ahead 48% to 35%. 49% say Toomey's doing a good job compared to 24% who say he is not. He's got 44% favorability ratings to 23% unfavorable. Sestak, meanwhile, is facing the fact that 61% of Pennsylvania voters say they don't know enough about him to have an opinion. So, Jim, I'm sure that's good for Sestak's ego. Yeah, sure, run again. We don't even remember the last time you ran.
Yeah, that's the one of the things that really jumped out about that poll number. Look, a lot can change. It's very early. There should not be any illusions about the challenge for a Republican candidate, particularly one who I think is a pretty solid conservative like Pat Toomey, running in a state like Pennsylvania that might be kind of a swing state in most circumstances, but Democrats have won. The last time the Republicans won was George H.W. Bush back in 88. It's been a long time since a Republican has won the state of Pennsylvania, and traditionally it looks competitive, and then towards the end, Democrats end up winning by about 5 points. Now, obviously, a higher turnout in a presidential election year, Democrats are counting on something like that. But man, you start to look at that number and wonder, did Sestak go into the witness protection program after losing? I mean, how do you have such astonishing? You run for Senate, yeah, I guess it's been close to 6 years, but where you been, man? So Toomey, I think, it's always encouraging to start out with a big lead. This will get more competitive as time goes by, but a nice little advantage to have that indicates this may not be such an uphill climb as some Republicans had feared.
Yeah, let's hope not. I believe the expected opponent was the Attorney General in Pennsylvania, but she ran into a whole bunch of ethical problems and obviously won't be part of that race. So that might be the biggest break of all for Pat Toomey, but we'll see how the story goes. So you hear those favorability numbers for Pat Toomey, and you go, well, if another incumbent Republican has pretty much the same numbers, he's probably in pretty good shape, too. Not exactly. Ohio voters think that Rob Portman is doing a good job. 49% to 23%. 38% like him. 18% don't. Yet he's down by 9 points to former Democratic governor and congressman Ted Strickland. Strickland has a 29% favorability rating. And, Jim, it's only been a few years since the voters threw him out of office in favor of John Kasich. So it's hard to put your finger on it here. They like Rob Portman, but he's starting with a pretty sizable deficit for this early in the race.
Quinnipiac giveth and Quinnipiac taketh away. look, maybe this is an outlier. The attitude, or you ask people in Ohio, would say that Rob Portman was pretty popular, a fairly vanilla senator in terms of his style. He's conservative on economic issues and moving a little bit to the left on social issues, supporting gay marriage, things like that. One of two things. This poll could be one of two. Either it's an outlier and it's weird, and the next poll will show them very closely put together. Or the much more ominous indicator could be that Republicans have serious problems in Ohio. This is still a state with significant blue-collar, working class, a lot of voters who've been through economic hard times. Kasich won re-election by a wide margin last time, but a lot of that was because his opponent imploded. If Rob Portman runs into trouble in a seemingly normal political environment against a flawed Democratic opponent like Ted Strickland, then Republicans have real trouble. And so this might be an early kind of red flag for Republicans. Time to start looking at what's on the minds of Ohio voters, because you would think, if anything, between the Republican convention being there, LeBron is back. You know, they seem like the best of times for Ohio. And apparently there's not a lot of warmth towards a guy like Rob Portman at a time like this.
Yeah, weird, since he got 60%, I think, when he won the Senate seat in 2010. So very interesting to watch that one as well. This is not an actual martini, but Quinnipiac also did pull the likely Florida Senate race, with Rubio not in there because he most likely won't run for re-election, assuming he's going to run for president. It looks like the Republican there has a slight lead. But the best part for you, Jim, Alan Grayson seriously considering a Senate bid.
Oh, please. Oh, please. Yeah. And obviously, you know, Patrick Murphy, the one of the two Democrats who's interested in running, is considered the, you know, he's considered more rightward than Grayson, but that's not hard to do. And he's also considered a more decent human being than Grayson, which is also not hard to do. Republicans looking stronger in both of those cases. I think Jeff Atwater is the guy who's polling the best right now. But you look at that and you're like, okay, Grayson has serious personality issues and would be the weaker of the two candidates. So, Greg, you and I and everybody in Florida has to do everything we possibly can to make sure Democrats nominate that guy.
All right. We laugh at that. We're not going to laugh at this. On to the crazy martini now. And Jim, we love John McCain's service to the country. He went through things that nobody should have to go through, and he served this country honorably. But he now says he wants another 6 years in the United States Senate. When he was trying to fend off his part of the Tea Party wave against J.D. Hayworth in 2010, he said this would be his last term. But then now he's looking at the landscape. Looks like it's probably going to be fairly easy for Republicans to hold the seat, probably very easy for him. But Jim, this is a guy, of course, who's only in the headlines when he's making life miserable for Republicans.
We want to like John McCain, Greg, but he makes it hard sometimes. Not as hard as Meghan McCain makes it. But look, this is a guy, as you pointed out, and I just kind of observed that he's been going on, and he's getting up there in years. Let me put it this way. People were making jokes that he was too old for the job before Obama was president.
That's right.
It's been a long 6 years and change since then. And so you just kind of figured you're ready for him to ride off into the sunset. We wanted to salute him for certainly an eventful and important and consequential Senate career. And he's making it hard. He won't leave. How can we miss you if you won't leave the stage, Senator McCain? Very often we're going to agree with him. Gotten very hawkish, very in support of foreign intervention and military intervention in basically everywhere, right, Greg?
Yes.
It'd be shorter to list the countries that he doesn't want to send U.S. troops. And that's not, that some Republicans aren't quite so comfortable with this. And so it seemed like it was a natural time to pass the torch to other members of the Senate. Certainly a lot of good conservative Republicans in Arizona, and maybe not. maybe Cindy McCain could say she'd really like to enjoy some quality time with her husband and all that stuff. So, Senator McCain, we love you, but don't you feel like kicking back, have a little relax, enjoy yourself? Probably not. I guess here's the thing: we should take the silver lining, Greg. You know what that is?
What's that?
He's not running for president in 2016.
John McCain will be 80 next year. There could very well be a primary challenge there, though, according to a Breitbart story. Arizona State Senator Kelly Ward, who I know nothing about, is seriously considering a run. And Congressman Matt Salmon, who once ran for governor against Janet Napolitano, obviously lost, is also considering a primary challenge. Jim, you were at the Minneapolis convention that nominated John McCain. And I remember his mother was there, and she's still alive. I think she's like 103. So maybe he's just figuring, hey, I've still got 20 years of public service left in me or something.
Oh, my God. So not only is he announcing he's running for re-election in 2016, he's already filed the paperwork for 2022. Then you go think about it. Now, to be honest, I think you'd see a serious primary challenge, and I think there'd be a lot of, something you saw against Bob Bennett, you kind of saw it against Orrin Hatch, that there are just down in Alabama last cycle. This is not age discrimination. It's just, there are people who'd like to see new blood. Here we are waiting for a little bit of re-energizing of the party. And I wouldn't be surprised if that turned into one of the more interesting primaries in the year to come.
Certainly could be. Will be fun to watch. Jim, have a great day. Enjoy all the Rand Paul festivities, and we'll talk probably about him tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to tune in again on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.